Father, I pray tonight that as we go into your word, we would really obtain some clarity about who you are, what you've done, and what we have because of you. And we are grateful for your word. We're grateful for the authentic presence and power of Jesus that does such a great work in our lives. I pray for soul repair. I pray for spiritual energizing. I pray for personal revival in each one of our lives, all of us, including me. I thank you for stirring us afresh, Lord. There is a river of life flowing out of us. We thank you for the gushing torrents of life-refreshing waters that come through your word. I pray that you would bring spiritual strength to each person's heart in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to go right into the word. You know, I was in an airplane and Rob put one of the Star Wars movies on my little device and I was watching Star Wars and they were flying through the sky through an asteroid field and shooting, you know, rockets and everything. And it was so awesome. And when you watch a movie, the movie people tell us that when we go into a theater or we watch a film, it's suspended disbelief. We suspend our disbelief and we're willing to hear a story and see allegory and those kinds of things to be entertained. Well, so I was in suspended disbelief and I was watching R2-D2 and Obi-Wan and all those guys, and it was fun, you know. And then I glanced out the window, and we were over the clouds, and it was really dark, and it was about a quarter moon, and I could see the Milky Way, which we don't get to see in the city very often. So I turned off that screen, and I cupped my hands, and I looked out the window, and I went from suspended disbelief to awe-struck wonder, because I saw what they depicted in some of the best special effects. They still stand up after 20 years, but nothing like the real thing. And when I looked out, I remembered that the stars declare the glory of God. Creation declares the glory of God. And John Moore texted me a picture of El Capitan in Yosemite in California. It's a big, beautiful outcropping of a rock that people climb. And he was there, and he had just been at the Sequoia Redwoods, which some of those trees were trees on the earth when Jesus was walking on the earth. Some of them have withstood lightning strikes, fires. There's the General Sherman tree. Half of it's kind of gutted out by fire, and it's just still standing. And they're just so massive, and they're so beautiful. I'm convinced that the trees of the fields clap their hands. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And I want to go to 1 Peter, the second chapter, and I want to just frame this with this verse, because my goal is to inspire you toward a successful life in the kingdom of God as a true worshiper of Jesus, a true praiser. And I want to remind you of 1 Peter, the second chapter. It's quoting Isaiah, the 43rd chapter in the 21st verse. It says, "This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise." And this is Peter speaking to the people that have received redemption through Jesus. "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession. And why? So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into this marvelous light." How many of you are glad God called you out of darkness? I'm so grateful to have been called out of the pit of darkness, the darkness of sin, the darkness of lostness, the darkness of uncertainty, the darkness of insecurity. And God shined light, and God called us out of darkness. And in fact, it says, and don't turn to this, but in Colossians 1:13, he rescued us from the domain of darkness, the governance of darkness, the authority of darkness. And he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. How many of you are glad for a transfer? I was sort of upset when my dad got a transfer from California to St. Louis, but I'm really grateful that I got transferred here. Amen. I got back on track with God. I found my sweetheart. I birthed my kids here. I've been part of this church for so many years. And I initially didn't understand the value of the transfer until I got in it a little while. And it's great. We need to understand the transfer of being rescued from the domain, the power, the control of Satan, and brought into the kingdom of his beloved son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. So we need to show forth his praises. God's called us out of darkness and into this marvelous light to be a people of praise. Hebrews 13:15 says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." What is a sacrifice of praise? It's an offering. It's a praise offering. And sometimes in our lives, things are really so exciting you get giddy about it. I remember one time my mother gave Chelsea a coat for Christmas. When she got this coat, she was a little bitty girl. Her grandma gave her this coat. When she opened up the package, it was just such a level of, she's such an exciting, happy personality. She just went, and she was crying, and she was so thankful, and she was hugging it, and it was, I've never forgotten it, you know, and I've since seen all my kids express those levels of gratitude. But I want God to see us as his children in an attitude of gratitude on a higher level. And so the reason I'm preaching this is to get us out of the doldrums of the dominion of darkness in our thinking. God's actually designed praise and worship. First of all, he's worthy of it. Secondly, we're created for it. But he also inhabits the praises of his people. In fact, go to Psalm 22, and I want to show you this point. I don't just want to exhort you to be a praiser. I also want to tell you how to do it and why. And I think the reason why is because God is deserving of praise and worship. He responds to it. And in this verse, it tells us also that he creates an atmosphere for change in it. It says in verse 3, last part, it says, "O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel." King James says God inhabits the praises of Israel. Now, Acts the 16th chapter, and that is where Paul and Silas were thrown into prison and were in the midnight hour singing hymns and singing praise to God. And the prisoners heard, God apparently heard, and he sent a specific earthquake that loosened and unfastened the chains, broke the doors open. Paul and Silas had their chains fall off, and long enough to lead the Philippian jailer to Christ. The Philippian jailer was going to do himself in, and he said, "Do yourself no harm." He got so convicted, he came to know the Lord. In that atmosphere of praise and worship, people got saved. Same thing with 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Jehoshaphat and the people of Israel were in a place of pressure. Have you ever been in a place of pressure? You ever been in a situation where you felt like, this could be it? I mean, I've seen people with alarming symptoms. My own wife had her appendix burst. The doctor said if you had just waited a little longer, you'd have died. So that's a big deal. I think about the time I was in the water. There was a problem with the oxygen mask last night in the airplane. So it took an hour and a half. One of the guys on the plane, I don't know if he had too much to drink or he hadn't been on his medication or something, but he was acting up. And so they had to kick him off the plane. And the captain had to negotiate with him. And I could hear it because it was by my seat. And he came out and I said, "You're ever expanding job description?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you do weddings?" He said, "Actually, I do. I perform my neighbor's wedding," and because he's a captain, you know. And I thought that was so funny. He said he had his card. I guess captains of boats and jets can marry people. But anyway, he just out of nowhere, after he had to deal with this guy that was troubled, he said, "When I was a Navy pilot, I had to ditch the F-8 that the engine went out, and I had 200 miles out to sea, and I was out in the sea for an hour and a half." And when he said that he was out to sea for an hour and a half, I thought, been there. And I listened to him, and he said it took him a long time to find him, and they found him and brought him back. And he basically was saying, "You know, I've been through that. All this is just nothing." So then I overheard Patsy say, "My husband was lost in sea for an hour and a half too, you know," and that's like. Then he said, "I think his was worse than mine because I had a radio to call my buddies." And I thought, well, mine was good because I could pray through my snorkel to the God of heaven. And he delivered me. He delivered me. Let's go to 2 Chronicles because I think we should look at this with our eyes. Examine these verses, just not in a whole lot of detail. It's the better part of 20 verses, but let's highlight it. The reality is Judah and the people under Jehoshaphat's leadership are in a great external threat and a struggle. And he is, in the context, he says, a great multitude is coming out against you. from beyond the sea and so forth. And Jehoshaphat was afraid. Now, I'm grateful that God shows us people like King David, Jehoshaphat. David said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." What's even better is that, according to 2 Timothy, the first chapter and the seventh verse, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound, well-balanced mind. Say this with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So he turned his attention to seek the Lord. I think that's why we lingered around praise and worship a little longer tonight, just because I think it's important we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and we recognize it as the battering ram that it is. Listen, as we worship God, you're going to see in these verses, God set up ambushment against the enemy. So here's the thought here. He starts in prayer and fasting. He calls everybody in verse 3. They turn their attention to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. You know, I'm proclaiming a fast for the next few days. You could pick up some time of fasting and prayer corporately. It's just, this is a precedent for corporate praise and worship. You could do that in your own personal walk through the year. But occasionally, I'll call you to fasting and prayer around Easter. I'll call you to fasting and prayer around Christmas. I'm calling you to fasting and prayer as we get ready to be in the event, just to believe God for greater levels of breakthrough, increased expectation, you know, a more sort of revived type of a situation in our hearts. How many of you could use that? Well, I believe it comes through that. So they gathered together, they assembled, and they began to pray. They reminded themselves, and they articulated to God how faithful he's been. And then it says in verse 12, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And then it says in verse 15, the Lord sent a guy named Amaziah, who is one of the Levites, and he prophesied. Actually, it's Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. Now, this was a praiser. This was somebody that was a worshiper. And he was prophesying, and he said, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." The battle is not yours, but God's. God is a warrior. And God brought Paul and Silas through on such a level that the Philippian jailer and his family came to the Lord in that setting. God brought Judah through in this situation to such a degree. They stationed themselves, they stood. Verse 17 says, "And see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you." Say that. "For the Lord is with you." Say, "For the Lord is with me." "For the Lord is with me." You may not feel his presence. You may not always be assured of that, but he said he would never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you always, even to the ends of the earth. He is the one that is an ever-present help in the time of need. He's the one who said in John 14, 27, oh, and I love this verse. I'm going to read it in the Amplified, just for your edification. "Peace I leave you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled." Let me read that to you again. "Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated, disturbed. Do not permit yourselves to be fearful, intimidated, and cowardly and unsettled." It's a powerful verse. It reminds me of Matthew chapter 11, where he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." Don't you think Paul and Silas in the midnight hour would have been weary and heavy laden? Don't you think Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah were weary and heavy laden when they saw a convergence of all this bombardment? And what do they have to do? It's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by the Holy Spirit. He is an underestimated force because he's invisible, yet real. And we who are sensory-oriented have a mind renewal issue. We've got to continually acknowledge that the things that are seen are made out of the things that are unseen. When I was looking out the window and I saw the stars, as I cupped my hands, I saw the Milky Way. It didn't last very long, actually. I looked and we were out in the country. There weren't many cities. There were just little smatterings of light. And the clouds had parted. I mean, it was 10,000 times better than Star Wars. And the stars were just glowing. And there was lightning. I didn't tell Patsy, but there was lightning in the clouds. She said, "What do you see out there?" I said, "Oh, beautiful stars in the Milky Way." And then in my head, I thought, "And lightning in the clouds?" But you don't need to know that part. She doesn't like flying in lightning. Who does? But anyway, I just marveled at the moon. And that's what David said. He said, "When I consider the moon and the stars that you've created, what is man that you're so mindful of him? And the son of man that you take thought of him?" I mean, it's fascinating that in this universe, God cares about us. He loves us. He values us. It's hard for us to grasp this. It's part of our fall. When the fall of man hit, we lost sight of this amazing love from the Father. Jesus has restored it to us, but we've got to get our minds renewed concerning it. And so I think this is what's happening here in 2 Chronicles. This may have been what was happening in Acts chapter 16. As they were singing hymns and psalms of praise to God, or in the case of Jehoshaphat, as they were acknowledging who God was, how powerful he was, how he brought them up out of bondage, and how he power and might are in his hand, and that no man could stand against him, and all these types of things. Then I think it's what caused them to be roused in their faith. Then that assurance from Jehaziel, who said, "The battle is not yours, but God's." So then Jehoshaphat instructed the people to station themselves, to stand, and to see the salvation of the Lord on their behalf. "Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out and face them, for the Lord is with you." Jehoshaphat bowed his head, verse 18, and his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Now, I told you about a time I was very, very down and very freaked out. And I talked to a person that I trusted. And I said, "Man, I'm going through what I feel like is a battle of my life. I feel depleted. I feel fearful. I don't know what to do next. There are all kinds of variables with this. It stressed us out. And she said, "Jeff, dance around your house." That was the last bit of counsel I would have ever wanted to hear. It's like, please, commiserate with me. Misery demands company. Can you weep with those who weep? And she was saying, "Man, get out there and dance around your house." I didn't want to do it. And I did, and I got results. And I'm still trying to press past this cavernous wasteland of, like Jehoshaphat, a seasons of fear. Jehoshaphat was afraid. But like what David said, "What time I am afraid, I'm going to trust in you." And at some point we need to understand, when we come with praise and worship, we're reinforcing who he is, what he's capable of doing, the content of his character, his proof throughout history. You remind yourself, like David when he faced Goliath, "Hey, you know, God delivered me from this, and he delivered me from this. He'll deliver me from this." I received a message from somebody in the church this week who went through a certain type of battle in their lives, and what they learned through that battle, God used, which is often the case, to inspire and encourage people going through a very similar issue of battle. How many of you have found that though you hated it and you wouldn't want to ever do it again, you went through some things that actually gave you experience and credibility and a reference point of how faithful God is, and God's actually used it a time or two in other people's lives? Let me see your hands. That's called a testimony, where you came through a test and you experienced the faithfulness of God. And the Bible says in Revelation, the 12th chapter, that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and that we love not our lives even unto death. So we're overcomers along these lines. And this is one of the great ways to overcome. I shared with you Acts chapter 16 that Paul and Silas, that this is how they overcame in the midnight hour. The midnight hour. At midnight, they lifted their voices in praise and worship. I mean, sometimes it's the last thing you'd want to do. And if you really analyze it carefully and you think about Paul and Silas as human beings that have been beaten, that had gone through struggles, that were probably hungry, that were probably thirsty, that were chained to the wall. They couldn't scratch their head if they had an itch. They were isolated in a dark, uncomfortable place. And yet they realized that God had transferred them out of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. God rescued them, and they had this power of the Holy Spirit. They had this power that was poured out, And they just began to minister to the Lord and worship God in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I'm convinced, that earthquake was something of the Holy Spirit. I believe God moved and shook the chains off. I mean, I had a report from a mom whose kids have gotten over and are free and sober from a long period of time of the grip of addiction. You guys, if you've ever watched that or been involved with that or seen that, and I think every family and every life in this world has seen that, to see people overcome that is a wonderful thing. Yes. Hallelujah. And you know, when those of us who've been through some things, man, we just start to thank God when people get breakthrough. And when we understand that in all these things we're overwhelmingly conquerors and we're more than conquerors, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and that he said, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, it's a special type of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 26:3, I'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Don't you know that when you're in praise and worship, it gets your mind on him? Don't you know that when you're lifting your voice in praise and worship, haven't you noticed that? Listen, praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime, praise him, praise him, praise him till the sun goes down. Praise him in your car. Turn your car into a prayer mobile and a praise mobile. Turn your house into a place of praise. Find some good music and play it. Lift your voice and find it in your heart to begin to minister to the Lord in more frequency. Because he, after all, is our King. He's the one that offers this special peace. He's the one that says if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. He's the one that causes peace to operate in every area of our lives. The devil wants us to be upset, worried, stressed out about everything. But God wants us to have peace ruling as the umpire in our heart. That peace that passes understanding. As we read about 2 Chronicles 20, let's look at it for what it really is. A report from history. A chapter in the lives of real people dealing with real struggle. And let's read this in light of our situation. It says in verse 20, put your trust in the Lord God and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and you will succeed. And he was talking about the word Jehaziel had brought forth. And then he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness is everlasting. You know, we have wonderful musicians in our church who are skilled, who play strings and drums and raise the levels. And they're humble of heart and they're worshipers of God. And they're people that help us and lead us into the presence of God. And the three things that should happen in a praise and worship service, that God would be pleased and glorified and he would be worshiped. Who would agree with that? We should just not be singers of songs, but we should be worshipers of God and really sing unto the Lord. And I tend to love the songs that are sung to God, not just about God. I like singing about what he's done, and those are songs of acknowledgement of, but I like ending up in the crescendo of really my heart connecting with him. I need all the help I could get with this. And that helps me. That's number two reason we have worship people. That's why they sent out these praisers, because they lead us into the presence of God. They go out there in their songs, and God seems to use these sonic things as something that is actually transcendent. And it's not New Agey. I'm not talking about some sort of mystical value of music. I'm talking about this biblical purpose for music. And he even said in 2 Kings, the 3rd chapter in the 15th verse, Elisha was getting ready to minister to Jehoshaphat and some other kings, and he said, bring me a minstrel. And when the minstrel played, the Spirit came upon him. And he said, thus says the Lord. I believe this can happen in your life. It happened in the prison cell in Philippi. I believe this could happen in our church. It happened to the people of Judah. I believe it could happen in your life. It happened with Jehoshaphat. He did not know what to do, but he began to minister to the Lord. I think that was the key of David in the situation of 1 Samuel chapter 17 when he faced off with Goliath. He said, you come out against me with sword and spear. I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And the worshiping shepherd who played the harp picked up 5 smooth stones and with a sling he killed Goliath. How amazing is that? How hope-filled is that? What endless possibilities there are if you discover that really the reason for it was because David had a heart toward God. David was spiritual. David was connected with God. David had FaceTime with God. And David fellowshipped with God, gazed at God. And this is really what I pray happens to you tonight. We're about to finish, but I wanted to just bring this focus to you. Psalm 48:1 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and the mountain of his holiness." Psalm 63:3-5 says, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you." I used to wonder about that. What could be better than life? His loving kindness is better than life. We only have the point of reference of life. This is all we know so far of existence. And yet, something of God is even greater than this existence. His loving kindness is even a greater quality in a higher category than even life itself. It's hard for us to grasp. We can amen it in faith, but it's so. And I think it's really, really reinforced as we offer up a sacrifice of praise. "Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift my hands in your name." Lift your hands. This is what lifting up hands is all about. It's not just a charismatic expression for Pentecostals and charismatics. There's really something of value of lifting up your hands. I think it's really a statement to the Lord. It's a statement to the Lord. He says, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." Smile at somebody and say, "You have joyful lips." That's a little bit creepy for the brothers. I realized that as I said it. Sorry about that. Joyful lips is a little weird. Psalm 71:8 says, "Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your honor all the day. But I will hope continually and will yet praise you more and more." Psalm 34:1 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." You say, "Pastor Jeff, when should we praise God?" Through the troubles, through the trials, when we fail, when we repent, when he forgives us, when things happen great in our lives, when blessing flows. In everything we are to give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks." Wow. I believe during the flood of 93, I just needed to thank God. I thank God for his answers. I thank God he was helping me overcome numbness. You know, you face challenges and conflict. You just begin to thank God that you actually have a God in heaven who cares about you, who said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. What do you do when you feel discouraged? It says, "Therefore the redeemed or ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, and everlasting joy will be upon their heads. They will obtain gladness and joy." I hope you carry away gladness and joy tonight. I hope you obtain it tonight, for it is obtainable. "And sorrow and sighing will flee away." It said, I am here to comfort you. And who are you that you are afraid of man who dies? That's Isaiah 51:11-12. Let's look at 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter and the 22nd verse, and then we'll go to Philippians, the 4th chapter, and finish there. "And when they began singing and praising..." Did you hear what I just preached to you about singing and praising? Yes. Now, I'm preaching to the choir. We just sang for about 55 minutes. And some of you stood on your feet and thought, "Man, I just stood for 55 minutes. And, you know, you're here. It's done something for you. It's apparently pleasing to the Lord. He's enthroned upon it. I believe it creates amazing atmosphere. And I don't mean that like some sort of manipulative mojo either. It's not some sort of thing we do to conjure an atmosphere. None of that at all. It's just that God responds to people that worship and praise him. Do you hear that? Okay, so let me just continue and just finish this up. It says, "When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and so they were routed." So they were routed. So they were struck down. They were defeated. Did you hear that? As you're worshiping God, as I'm worshiping God, it's going to set up ambushments against the enemy. Okay, let's go to Philippians, the 4th chapter, and it's actually a praise verse, but it also includes prayer. Philippians, the 4th chapter. Let's go to it. Verse 4, 5, and 6 through... we'll just look at the last part of this section. It says in verse 4, let's read this out loud together. Let's read this out loud together. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let's read that again, two more times. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. One more time. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men, or your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Now let's read verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let me tell you something, church. Prayer is an exercise of the heart, and it takes effort. Praise is an exercise of the heart, and it takes effort. Supplication is an exercise of the heart, and it takes effort. And when we draw near to God, He actually wants us to draw near to Him with worship. Not in the performance of a moment, but with the heart response of a Father who calls us to this. He's called us to be praisers. He's called us to cry out. He's called us to connect in prayer and praise. With thanksgiving, and let all your requests be made known to God. I heard one translation, it says, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. That's the New Living Translation. Don't worry about it, pray about it. Spend time in prayer about a thing. Offer up prayer with thanksgiving and supplication. Bring it before the Lord. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. Let's read that. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Boy, how many of you like that idea? I believe that's happening to some people tonight. That you're coming from a shallow experience to a deeper experience. You're coming from hopelessness to hope. You're coming from a place of feeling seized to getting breakthrough. And then it says, it continues, then it, and I love this verse, verse 8, finally, brethren, read it, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Wow. This is what happens to me in praise and worship. We get introspective, we get preoccupied, we get busy in our thinking. We try to numb our thinking with entertainment or amusement. But then praise and worship doesn't just amuse us. Praise and worship honors Him. And He is enthroned and inhabits it. It's a wonderful, amazing, amazing thing. God is calling a voice of praise to come throughout the whole world. A sacrifice of praise. You should hear the music in the fields of those evangelistic meetings with 450,000 people in Nigeria singing as only Africans can sing, the certain flair of their culture, you know, the beat and the sound and the richness of it, the tonal quality of it. I mean, wow. It must have made heaven happy. It must have made heaven happy. The stately, elegant hymns that have come from the 1700s, 1800s that are so rich from the Word of God, those are holy unto the Lord, man. The choruses with the electric guitars that's coming out of the young, from the heart, it must please God and all things in between. God is not so much interested in musical taste or style as much as He is in us meditating on whatsoever things are true, lovely, praiseworthy, fasting, praying, praising, believing God with supplication, prayer, and giving of thanks. And what'll happen? The God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. These things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's read that out loud together. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace be with you. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for moving into the midnight hour of each person's heart and life. I pray You address each need. I pray, God, You would just obliterate the armies of the enemy. I pray you would rout them. I pray that they would turn on each other. I pray, God, the convergence of the pressures and the stresses in people's lives would be dealt with powerfully by your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we look to you. We trust you. When you showed up in the New Testament, amazing things happened. Amazing things happened. And God, I ask that you would turn things around for each person in this place in Jesus' name. I thank you for doing a great work. I thank you for enabling each person's heart to be strengthened and nurtured, nourished and sustained. You always cause us to triumph. God, we rejoice. We praise you. We thank you for what you're doing. God, help us to be a people of praise. May we be a worshipful, prayerful, word, Jesus-centered, loving church built on the solid foundation of faith, hope, and love. We thank you, Lord. No weapon formed against us will prosper. We thank you, Lord, for turning everything around for good. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah.